We open the Word of God to the prophecy of Ezekiel. We're going to read chapter 34 in connection with the text in Psalm 23. Really a extended version of Psalm 23 in many ways. So let's read the entire chapter, Ezekiel chapter 34. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with wool, ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them. And they were scattered because there is no shepherd, and they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. For thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered. So will I seek out my sheep, and will deliver them out of all the places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people, and gather them from the countries, and will bring them to their own land, and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers, and in all the inhabited places of the country. And I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. And as for you, O my flock, thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I judge between cattle and cattle, between the rams and the he-goats. Seemeth it a small thing unto you to have eaten up the good pasture? But ye must tread down with your feet the residue of your pastures, and to have drunk of the deep waters, but ye must foul the residue with your feet. And as for my flock, they eat that which ye have trodden with your feet, and they drink that which ye have fouled with your feet. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God unto them, Behold, I, even I, will judge between the fat cattle and between the lean cattle. Because ye have thrust with the side and with shoulder, and pushed all the diseased with your horns, till ye have scattered them abroad. Therefore will I save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey, and I will judge between cattle and cattle. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David, he shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. And I will make with them a covenant of peace, and will cause the evil beast to cease out of the land. And they shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. And I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing. And I will cause the shower to come down in his season. There shall be showers of blessing. And the tree of the field shall yield her fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase. And they shall be safe in their land, and shall know that I am the Lord, when I have broken the bands of their yoke, and delivered them out of the hand of those that served themselves of them. And they shall no more be a prey to the heathen, neither shall the beast of the land devour them, but they shall dwell safely, and none shall make them afraid. And I will raise up for them a plant of renown, and they shall be no more consumed with hunger in the land, neither bear the shame of the heathen any more. Thus shall they know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and that they, even the house of Israel, are my people, saith the Lord God. And ye, my flock, the flock of my pasture, are men, and I am your God, saith the Lord God. We read this far in God's holy inspired word. The text this morning is from Psalm 23, the second verse. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. When we open the Word of God, beloved, to such a familiar passage, we run the risk of spoiling such a beautiful, sublime, plain passage. Psalm 23 is a psalm that's been a psalm of comfort and inspiration to the saints through the ages. For the young children, for the aged, for the sick, for the dying. But there's a relevance in it for every child of God, regardless of the circumstances of his life. It presents to us a picture of a shepherd and sheep. We are the sheep, senseless and defenseless, prone to wander, and in great need of the flock and the shepherd. And even though there's a very large sheepfold and very many sheep, as sheep, we can say in a very personal way, the Lord is my shepherd. And that's a great comfort to the child of God. And there's comfort in this psalm, especially in the beautiful, intimate description that it gives to us of God. He's the shepherd. He knows his sheep individually. He calls them by name. Where those sheep would wander, he seeks them and he brings them back into the fold. Where those sheep face danger, he defends them and he protects them. Where those sheep need correction, with his rod and staff, he corrects them. Where those sheep have sickness and disease and special needs, he tends to them with the tenderness of a shepherd. This morning we're going to look at the second verse of this psalm. Last time we had a baptism, we looked at the first verse of the psalm. And part of the reason that we look at it in connection with baptism is that this psalm is so familiar to our children. They know it. It's probably the first psalm that they learn, the first Psalter number that they sing. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. So this morning we want to look at verse 2, and we'll look at it under the theme, rest for the sheep. And let's notice three things. First, the need for rest, and that's our need. In the second place, the provision of rest, that's God's provision. And then in the third place, the enjoyment of rest, Where do we find this rest? This verse is a verse about rest. Sometimes when we think of green pastures, we think of being fed. But you notice in the verse, he makes me to lie down in green pastures to rest. And in the last part of the verse, when we think of water, we very often think of drinking, and that's certainly here as well, but literally you have here, he leadeth me beside the waters of rest. And so this is about rest for the sheep. Now, I'm not an expert on sheep, and you don't need to be an expert on sheep to know that sheep need rest. They're physical creatures, just as we are. And we need physical rest. We need sleep. And so it is with sheep. A day in the life of a sheep could be quite busy. They wander, they frolic, they graze, they live under the hot sun, they get a full stomach. They need to stop, and they need to rest, and they need to sleep. And in order for them to rest, there are certain conditions in their environment that need to be met. An agitated flock cannot rest. And part of rest is that these conditions in their environment are also met by the shepherd. He meets other needs than just their need to sleep. In a beautiful little book written on this psalm, a shepherd looks at Psalm 23. Philip Keller points to four things that are necessary for sheep to rest. Because sheep are timid, because they're so easily frightened, their fears need to be allayed before they can rest. He tells a story of watching sheep, and a jackrabbit could make a whole flock of sheep run. He tells a story of a visitor coming to his house and a little dog jumping out of the car and a whole flock of sheep being scattered. And part of the shepherd's care is that he frees them from these fears, whether those fears are real or imagined. Then also, because sheep are part of a flock, because they're gregarious, because they're somewhat, because they're relational, sheep will not lie down until they're free of friction. They fear one another. There are bullies in the flock. We just read about that in Ezekiel 34. They push with the horns, and they push with the side, and they trample the grass, and they spoil the water with their dirty feet so that others drink fouled water. There are bullies in the flock. And the sheep need to be free of friction. The shepherd's presence calms the bullies and enables them to rest. Also, sheep will not lie down and they will not rest if they're pestered by insects and flies and disease. Sheep are not clean animals. And part of the shepherd's care of them is that he keeps them clean, that he cuts off the daggy bits of wool so that the flies and the insects don't bother them, don't build their home on the back end of the sheep. He needs to keep them healthy. And then also for sheep to rest, they need to be free of hunger. They need to have a full stomach, and that's the work of the shepherd. To feed them, to find them green pastures from which they can eat. And so he leads them into green pastures. Now this morning, as we look at Psalm 23 and the meaning of this second verse, we want to see our need of rest from from a spiritual point of view. We have a need that needs, we have needs that other needs that must be met for us to find rest. There's not only the rest itself, but there are so many other burdens that get in the way of us finding rest. And Jesus says in Matthew 11, verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And he means this too, that he'll take the weariness, he'll take the burden as part of giving rest to his people. Christian life is not easy. Christian life is not a walk in the park. Jesus describes it as taking up a cross and following him. There's the weight of responsibility in the Christian life, day-to-day responsibility, but spiritual responsibility as well. There are the pressures of temptation. There are the bitter struggles with sin, and all of this is very wearying for the child of God. Sin burdens him. There's the weariness of the old man. Paul describes it in Romans 7. The struggle, the good that I would, I do not. And I find there's a war going on in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, the child of God feels that burden. There's the burden of guilt that's ever with us. Every believer who's slightly, just slightly aware of his sin feels the burden of his guilt before the just and holy and righteous God. Lord, if thou shouldest mark iniquity, who should stand? And then there are the burdens and the troubles and the trials of life, and in them we're pressed. And in Psalm 90, the psalmist describes them this way: "We are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath we are troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. All our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told." In the baptism form, what is our life but nothing but a continual death? And so we're pressed on every side, as the Apostle Paul says. There are the fears of life that seem to prevent rest. Anxieties, concerns. We're scared of the future. Anxieties that have to do with our earthly needs, our work, our income, the economy. How long will it be this way? Will I have work this summer? And we cannot rest. There's illness and the anxiety that illness brings. And we have an illness and we don't know what's going on in our body, and then it's diagnosed, and then we don't know how bad it is. And there are all kinds of anxieties for the child of God. There are fears in our family, fears for our children, fears as we think about tomorrow and the future and the signs of the coming of Jesus Christ being revealed in the church and in the world. Fears for our young children, our teenage children. Would they were older and more mature so that we would know about their faith. We have all these fears. And sometimes there are imagined fears. We can be anxious about nothing. Things that aren't real. And so these fears prevent rest. And then there's friction that gets in the way of our rest. Just as with the sheep, sometimes fighting can be worse than anxiety. Can you sleep at night after you've had an argument with your spouse? Bible says, "Let not the sun go down on your wrath," and there's a reason. And so there's friction, and you find friction In the church, you find friction. In families, you find friction. In the congregation, you find friction in our lives in relation to the world. And can we rest? There are bullies. There are people that consume and that push the children of God. And this kind of friction keeps us sometimes not only from physical rest, but from the spiritual rest that we would find in Jesus Christ. Why does Jesus teach us to pray, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors"? Because we cannot know forgiveness, we cannot know peace. Well, there's that friction and that lack of forgiveness and love in our hearts. There's disease spiritually. We mean the consequences of sin. Sin has consequences, and sometimes those consequences of sin, maybe not even our own sin, maybe the sin of another in the past, we bear the burden of it. And these things stand in the way of finding rest. The memories of sin linger, and the wounds are sometimes open, and it's as irritating as flies on an open wound. To rest, there's a hunger that must be satisfied. Jesus talks about hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Do we hunger? Do we hunger and thirst after righteousness? Perhaps sometimes we're fed too well. And it's hard to see, to quantify this hunger to us who are fed so well. But you go to a mission field. You go to an outlying small church. You visit the saints in Spokane or Wingham, or what are they doing? They're questions. They've got questions for you. Tell me about your church. Tell me about your Christian school. There's a hunger. These are the ones who you find read the church magazine, study theology. There's a true hunger and thirsting for righteousness, and this hunger needs to be satisfied for the sheep to rest. The Lord is my shepherd. Jehovah, our shepherd, and His Son, Jesus Christ, who says, "I am the great shepherd," gives us this rest. And He gives us this rest by meeting all these other needs, by filling our life so that there's a state, a condition, where we can find rest for our souls. As we look more closely at the text, there are two things that should grab our attention. And the first is this, that the priority of rest, the priority of rest. This is the beginning of the psalm. In verse 1, there's kind of an introduction and an overview, and the psalmist paints the picture, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And this is a summary statement. Because Jehovah is my shepherd, because of His tenderness, His knowledge of me, His care for me, I will have all my needs met. I will lack nothing. And now in verse 2, the psalmist becomes more specific. What needs does he meet? The first one, he gives rest to me. There's the priority there of rest. And now, that's a little different than how we think of rest, especially from a physical point of view. We say that we need rest because we're tired. We say that we need rest at the end of the day. But when the Bible talks about our spiritual rest, it presents it to us as something that comes first. Just think of the Sabbath. God changed it from the last to the first day of the week, the day of rest, a day for spiritual refreshment and encouragement, not so much so that we can rest from the weariness of the week that has gone by, but so that we can be filled with life, we can be fed, we can be nourished and strengthened to go forward in the week that's before us. And that's true, if you think about it, from a physical point of view as well. How necessary it is for us to have rest to be able to accomplish our tasks. We have so much to do sometimes that we find little time to rest, but we find out that if we don't make time to rest, we accomplish nothing. We need rest. And we need it before our activity. And that's the way the Scripture presents our spiritual rest to us. We need our rest. We need our refreshment in Jesus Christ, so that we may have strength to live. The other thing in the verse that should catch our attention is the word make. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Now there's two things in that word. The first is this, that sometimes God has to make us rest. He has to make us rest. Apparently with sheep that's true. Once their needs are met, once their stomach is full, once they've eaten, once they've drunk, all the fears and the frictions are gone, they still need to be, as it were, pushed to the ground to know that it's time to rest. And maybe an illustration that will help us understand it is our children. How many children want to have a nap? How many children want to go to bed at night? He maketh me to lie down. Our parents have to tell us it's bedtime, and they know. They know what's best. And that's how it is very often in our life too. God with circumstances. God sometimes with troubles in our life has to cause us, make us rest. That is, by the circumstances and the trials of our life, He causes us to come to Christ and find our rest in Him. We want to shoulder it on our own. We're strong, like Peter. We can do it. And then we fall. We falter. We can't bear the load. And God brings us, causes us to find our rest in Jesus Christ. Augustine once said, "Our soul is restless till it rests in Thee." And then the other thing that this word maketh shows us is sovereign grace. God makes us rest. It's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. And notice, this is particular. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. And whenever the Scriptures speak of a shepherd and a sheep, whenever the Scriptures speak of a shepherd and a sheepfold and the care of the shepherd, it's particular. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd and I lay down my life for the sheep." And he turns to the Pharisees and he says, "You believe not because you are not of my sheep." Sovereign grace in that word. God brings us into the rest that is to be found in Jesus Christ. The only reason that we feel the need that we seek rest in Christ is that God works this in our hearts. And that comes here in a very personal way. This is the expression. This is the experience of the individual believer. The doctrine of election shouldn't make us doubt, but the doctrine of election should bring us to a rich personal assurance. I feel the need of rest. I experience this rest in Jesus Christ. That's the work of God's grace. This is what the sheep, the chosen, can say. He makes me lie down. Those are evidences of God's electing grace at work in us. How does he meet this great need? What is the rest, the answer to the fears and the friction and the hunger and the disease? How does the shepherd grant rest to the sheep? Very simply, it's this. The shepherd is with the sheep. The shepherd is with the sheep. In Ezekiel chapter 34, you have that beautiful description of the shepherd and the sheep and what God will do for the scattered sheep. And he ends that chapter this way in verse 30. Then shall they know that I am the Lord their God, that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and they, even the house of Israel, are my people, saith the Lord God. And ye, my flock, the flock of my pasture, are men, and I am your God, saith the Lord God. He says earlier in the chapter, they will know that I am among them. This is the answer for the sheep. When the sheep have fears, the shepherd's there. They look to the shepherd, and their fears are gone. When the sheep have friction and there's a bully among the sheep and the waters are fouled and there's pushing and shoving, sometimes like our children, the presence of the shepherd is enough to stop the fighting. Father walks in the room, the fighting's done. The presence of the shepherd, the disease, the wounds, the injuries. Think of Isaiah 40, verse 11. He shall lead his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs in his arm and gently bear those, lead those that are with young. The tenderness of the shepherd. He feeds them. Green pastures. We have to think of a desert. Palestine was something like that, a rocky, mountainous, dry land. And he finds the oasis in the desert, not only so that there they can rest, but there they can be fed. He stills the waters, the raging waters, creates maybe a little pool off the side of the river where the waters are still so that the sheep can drink. The sheep can eat, and then they can rest. And beloved, it's where God is, it's where God is that we find our rest. In the shepherd's company, in the presence of the Lord, in the place of communion, there we find rest for our souls. And that rest comes to us through the Son of God who calls himself the Great Shepherd. God gives that prophecy through Ezekiel in chapter 34, verse 23. I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, he shall be their shepherd, and I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. Jesus comes, and he looks back at the Old Testament, Ezekiel, Psalm 23. And he says, I am the good shepherd. He brings us into communion, into the place of communion with God. He is God with us. But also, he opens the way of communion into the presence of God through his blood. I'm the good shepherd. I lay down my life for my sheep. I'll rest. A dwelling with God comes through the cross. Jesus says, come, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And so, beloved, as you find yourself burdened and weary and laden with sin and struggling, and as you have fears, as you hunger, as you have spiritual needs, as this friction, come to Christ. Come together to Christ. And there's rest for the people of God. And now let's talk about the enjoyment of this rest. A rest enjoyed. Where is it? Where is it that we find this rest? Where is it that we will enjoy this rest here in the earth? Well, the text gives two hints at that when it speaks of pastures and waters. And there's no doubt that when the text speaks of pastures, it's speaking of food. And when it speaks of waters, it's speaking of the water of life that Jesus will give. Psalm 1 has a similar picture. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners. He's like a tree planted by the rivers of water. The water gives life. The water of life is the Spirit. And here you have the Spirit and the Word. Waters and pastures. Where do we enjoy? Where do we find this rest? We find it, beloved, in the church of Jesus Christ. Whenever the scriptures speak of sheep, that's not individual. But that's a fold, that's a flock, and there's a shepherd. And he feeds us as sheep together, as a flock in the fold. And there's our safety, and there's our security, there's our rest in the church of Jesus Christ. Find our rest in the fellowship of believers, in fellowship with the shepherd, fed at his hand through the means of grace, where the Spirit works to save. We enjoy this rest, beloved, in the church. There we find rest for our souls. Young people, are you restless? Are you burdened? Don't look to the world and its answers. Don't look to companionship in the world. Find your rest in Jesus Christ, in the church, and in the fellowship of believers. You must come to the shepherd. You must seek his presence. Well, that's true for all of us. Where the gospel is preached in truth, where the sacraments are properly administered, where discipline and mutual oversight is exercised in the church, there's rest for weary sinners. Again, isn't that what Ezekiel's talking about? What was the problem? False shepherds who did what? They didn't feed the sheep. They didn't teach. They weren't the prophets and the teachers that they should have been. Instead, they used the flock and the people of God for their own advantage, and they scattered them. There was no safety, there was no security for the sheep anymore. And Christ, God says, I'll send David, Christ, one shepherd to teach, to gather, to bring from the four corners of the earth into one fold. Jesus says, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, they must be gathered too by the preaching of the gospel. Here's the rest for our souls. What do we enjoy in the church? What do we enjoy under the means of grace? We enjoy forgiveness. We enjoy release from the bondage and the consequences of sin and the pain. We enjoy food for our hungry souls and freedom from fear, because the shepherd is there with us. There's still weakness in the church. There's weakness in the office bearers. But this is the rest for sinners. And this rest will be perfected when we all come to glory. As Revelation 21 says, God then will dwell with us and be our God, and we His people. And so you have in this verse a perfect picture. The commentator says there's a picture here of rural beauty expanding before us, a happy flock resting, guided to meadows and refreshing streams. This is the believer's soul, secure from all alarms, peaceful in the knowledge of the Lord's protection, feasting on the rich provision of His Word, nurtured by the Spirit's rich supply, reposing under the shadow of the cross, drinking in the cool streams of spiritual and scriptural teaching, delighting in the sacraments. The Lord is my shepherd. He meets all my needs. I shall not want. Amen. Father, we thank Thee for this beautiful, sublime picture in the Scriptures for us of Thy love and Thy care and Thy relation to us. Lord, may it be an encouragement to us and bring peace to our souls, and may we be those who seek our life and our communion with Christ the Great Shepherd. In His name do we pray. Amen.